You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Friday, September 3rd, 2021. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe to the podcast so you get this mother clucker once it drops. We will talk to Jay Cornegay, head boss over at the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas. The Tom Brady betting enigma. Players are still pounding Brady. Division, conference, Super Bowl. Westgate's got Brady 2-1 now, and it's not stopping. You've never seen anything like this in the NFL, ever. Noises from the Don Best screen, commotions at the sports book. Remember, Jay's been working in Vegas for 35 years or so he's seen it all. And he shares a couple stories, including one where a customer threatens him over a Super Bowl prop. And also, you should know, there are 10 ways to win in this year's Super Contest. I've mentioned a couple times now, Chicken Dinner is in the Super Contest. Five NFL picks a week against the spread. And they've got these mini contests inside the big contest. So 5 years ago, you really only had one shot. It was like, all right, you either finish in the money or you're out. But now they've got these contests inside the contest. You can win in different ways. And that's why I think the Westgate Super Contest is a very strong contest. So we'll talk to Jay for about 26 minutes. We sat down in Vegas at the end of August, middle of August, I guess, and we chopped it up. And I had to take some of it out because it went so long. You got to kind of fine-tune it and find the hits. But I'm looking forward to sharing that conversation with all of you. One of the greatest wins we will ever see, ever. Long live the Eastern Washington UNLV over. Over 66.5. 6-3 at halftime. I'm getting messages, texts, people that don't follow me are like, oh, yeah, good call. Look, it wasn't a great handicap. And let me start by saying the Eastern Washington quarterback, Eric Berrier, ended up having a day. He threw for almost 400 yards in that game, and that'll be a team I believe is going to be tough to stop. We'll play a little FCS this year. Don't you worry. They're going to be explosive. That team's going to score 40 points a game in conference, and they're going to beat a lot of teams bad. But my thought process was this, same as a lot of the guys in Vegas that do this for a living. Somebody's going to start this game. You need somebody to pace it. And by that, I mean you need a touchdown early to get these teams going. That didn't happen until the third quarter. You can't have an over if you don't get touchdowns. And there were a couple situations in that game. Forget the missed field goals because that happens. I'm not going to say missed field goals are the reason the game didn't go over in regulation. But there were three scenarios where you had field goals kicked 25 yards or less. There was a 22-yard field goal, I think another 22-yard field goal, a 21-yard field goal. You've got to go for the score there. Seven is greater than three. Kicking is for losers, some have said. But nobody set the pace early, and that's why that game struggled in the first half. Did you watch the third and fourth quarter? That thing picked up. They were taking shots down the field. There were some interceptions on 40, 50-yard throws. That game eventually picked up and got to the pace of where the total was. Look, the total was 66.5 for a reason. Get totally lucky with the result. That thing at the half, as I said, 6-3. In the fourth quarter, it's 20-6. I'm like, well, we need 41. How do we get there? Then you start doing the gambling math. Well, two touchdowns, that's 14. That's 20-20. All right, I need two touchdowns, and I need stops on the other end. And then, of course, there's a field goal kick. UNLV kicks a field goal to make it 20-9. I'm like, oh! At that point, you have a 99.9% chance of losing the bet if you're on the over. It's 20-9. But that didn't stop me and some of you sickos from doing the math. Well, if we get a field goal, score a touchdown, get the two, we'll go to overtime, 20-20. That's what we do to ourselves as sports bettors. People always walk in when you're watching the game. Why are you watching this game? It's 20-9. It's the fourth quarter. Don't worry about it. We all do it. It actually goes to overtime, 20-20, and here's why. Eastern Washington played for the win with the field goal in the final minute. I know none of you watched it. Well, not none of you. Some of you watched it. Most of us didn't watch it. But here I am at 1 o'clock Eastern time in the morning with 1,000 of my closest friends watching the live stream on Stadium, needing a missed field goal. And the kids shanked it wide left. So now we're going to OT 20-20. You still need a lot to happen. We get into overtime, though. Phone starts buzzing. Eyeball emoji here. Eggplant emoji there. The boys know what's possible. Some of us can see it coming. Bang, bang. 27-27. Each team gets a touchdown. All right, we're at 54. We need 67. You need two more touchdowns. Can't have an interception. Can't have a field goal. Need two more touchdowns. Eastern Washington, bang. And they get the two, which I didn't even know you had to go for two in double overtime now. I thought it was triple overtime, but I never know the rules anymore. So it's 35-27. 62. Holy fuck, this might happen. I'm standing in my living room. It's 1:27 in the morning. We need UNLV to get in the end zone. Need it. And it happens. Rebels get in. Don't get the two. Doesn't matter. 35-33. 68 and an over. Had zero business winning. I am not even going to pretend like I handicapped the game right. But this is the lesson. You have to understand in sports betting, you can be right and be wrong. You can be wrong and be right. And the sooner you understand that, the better off you're going to be if you're doing this stuff day to day. I don't even do it day to day anymore. I can't. It's too hard. If you bet every day, you probably lose. I was dead on with Minnesota. I loved that bet. Plus 14. They were pounding the Buckeyes in the trenches. Ibrahim was a stud. And then two things happened in that third quarter where you go from probably a winner to, uh-oh, this might lose. Minnesota gives up a defensive touchdown. The ball that banged off the turf and hopped up into a D lineman and he runs it back. You're like, oh, okay, great. And then Ibrahim leaves the game. He's got a walking boot on. The best player on Minnesota gets hurt. So now you got to face Ohio State, who's getting stronger and stronger for the remainder of the third and all of the fourth. And at that point, you're thinking, wow, this was a great bet, and now it's not. If I would have told you, though, honestly, if I would have told you Ohio State would score touchdowns of 71, 56, 70, and 61 yards, you would have thought, right? They win this game 45-10. It's a blowout. No. They score all of those touchdowns and still don't cover 14. Ohio State was never the right side in the game. But you didn't lose. What's more important, the process or the results? Ask yourself. I had somebody at work today. Oh, yeah, well, I would have made that Ohio State bet again. Really? Okay. Hey, if you feel that way, fine. But third quarter, you're thinking, all right, Minnesota has a chance. I never thought they were going to win the game, but I thought they'd be in the game because of their running game. Defensive touchdown, running back hurt. Then it's a free-for-all. Then you don't know. I was happy to leave with a push at plus 14. Some people got the hook, plus 14.5, good for you. Some people bought the hook, okay. But I was very happy with the handicap on Minnesota, and that game is a sweat. I whiffed on the handicap, Eastern Washington, UNLV, and win. You can't even make it up. In a game that realistically had no chance of going over, it goes over. This is an emotional roller coaster. It took me years to learn that if I lose the 3:30 kick on Saturday in some fucked up way, I don't have to bet the 7:30 game. I wasn't due. Nobody's ever due. You lost three in a row, you can't lose four? Bullshit. That's the truth. And I can tell you with full certainty that if I was on the under of that Eastern Washington UNLV game and it was 20-9 with, 6 minutes to go and I lost that game, I would have been a nut job the next 3-4 days. I would have bet on anything and everything because I was due. Well, the betting gods can't do it to me again. Yes, they can. Discipline is so hard, so hard. I also am not going to dance around and act like I found Pandora's box and went inside. Got lucky to win. That's it. It's over. We move on. Our buddy Love to Travel tweeted this out yesterday, @lion_man19. The insanity with the push notifications. I can't believe these books are able to do this stuff. It's borderline unethical. This is about an hour before kickoff between Ohio State and Minnesota. And Love to Travel tweets out the following. It's a screenshot of his home screen with the caption, "Get your parlays in. My notifications are going wild." It is three different sports books with three different offers for you. A push notification right to your phone, straight to your face. Here you go. Come on, bet. If the local bookie would have sent me something like this 10 years ago, I'd be like, this guy's onto something. But we get it on our phone, so it's okay. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll put in my same team parlay. Why not? I'm bored. MGM, get the Ohio State versus Minnesota one-game parlay. It kicks off in 1 hour. Build the perfect one-game parlay and win big! Exclamation point. Tap here to start building your parlay now, arrow. How can a sports book lead you to the parlay waters? There's a reason they're doing it. You understand that, right? How many times has your buddy had a 17 parlay and he only won six, but damn, he got close. He almost turned 20 into 800. The more teams you parlay, the more likely it is you lose. And all these books are going to send you $5, $10 tickets. This person turned $10 into $9 million. This could be you. It's not going to be you. We've talked about this before, but some of you are new. Some of you are doing this football thing for the first time. And you have to understand, when you get a push notification from a sports book that says, hey, we boosted this for you, or we're going to do you a solid, it's not really a solid. Usually. So pay attention to that. I couldn't believe, though. He's like, hey, man, look at my phone. And it's bang, bang, bang. 4 minutes ago, 1 minute ago, 1 minute ago. Parlay, parlay, boost, boost. It's insane. Books never did that. Books couldn't do that, for that matter. But these American books, man, they hit you where you're looking. They hit you where you're going, your phone. You're on that thing all day. And you get the itch, too, right? Oh, the game's on tonight. Do I have plans? No. Well, I'll throw in a parlay. Discipline. Discipline. Speaking of discipline, people are asking, what do you like this weekend? I've only got one pick left. Had Minnesota plus 14 push. Somehow hit the over, Eastern Washington UNLV 66.5. And the last play, I talked about it on the last show, Iowa minus 3.5. And I'm glad we did it then because now the market's 4. I had a feeling it wasn't going to go back to 3. At the time of that taping, one book had a 3 minus 15. I'm like, all right, just give out 3.5. If it lands 3, so be it. Remember, the market did open 5.5. And the sharp guys came in, took 5.5, 5. Some took 4.5. And then it got down to mostly 3.5, a couple threes. But I have no issue. Even at 4, you can lay 4. Go for it. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, don't lay 4. I laid 3.5. So we're in the same boat, essentially. You're going to push, I'd win if it lands 24-20. The interesting thing about this game is the total. And I've said this all week long. Indiana wants to play this game 1st to 30. Indiana's got speed and skill, and they've got a lot of athletes, and they like to spread it out. An Indiana total preferably for them, is like 52, 53. That's an Indiana-style game. If you've lived in the Big Ten or watched any Big Ten football, you know that that is not the case with Iowa. Iowa's been the same football team for 20 years. Run the rock, control the line of scrimmage, have some beef up front on D, have pretty good linebackers, probably got a white quarterback and a receiver with a hyphen in his name. That's Iowa every single year. But Iowa, under Kirk Ferentz, what do? They try and be the first to like 20, 24. Iowa's trying to win 17, 14. Okay, maybe not that low anymore. 21, 17. 21, 20. That's an Iowa game. Iowa games aren't in the 30s for the most part. You get the occasional outlier. But when you think Iowa, you think low and slow. When I think Indiana, especially last year, I'm watching them fly up and down the field. So why is this total only 46? Open 48, bet down to 46. That's an Iowa total trending down. There's correlation there. If you like Indiana, you probably like the over. If you like Iowa, you probably like the under. This will be a game where whoever makes the least mistakes is going to win. And if Iowa can control the pace and the tempo, that's bad for Indiana because Iowa is very good at getting you to fuck up, especially at Kinnick. This could very well be a 20-20 game with 6 minutes to go, and Indiana's got the ball, 3rd and 10 at their own 20, and they throw an interception. And then Iowa takes a touchdown lead, and that's it. That's how this very well could play out. It's going to be close. Hell, a lot of these games are close, especially with the point spread. But the score I keep coming back to is like 24-17 Iowa or 26-20 Iowa. This is a good buy low spot. You're buying a team off a kind of year going against a team that had a really good year. And we'll see about Indiana's offense. Can they replicate what they did last year? That's all on film now. Indiana goes up 14-0. I hate to break it to you. It's over. But if Iowa can take the lead early and do what they do, this appears to be, at least from a number standpoint, an Iowa type of game. And that's why I felt very good about laying 3.5. And I'll gladly take, if Iowa covers, I'll take 2-0-1 this week and move on. That's it. No parlays. No late game. I know some guys love Cal, and I'll give you a couple other sharp picks here. John Murray helped us out. But I know a couple other guys that really like California. That is a 217, 218. You can find some threes, mostly 3.5. Cal's at home. They bring back a lot of that defense, and Wilcox is a monster at building up and scheming that defense. Nevada, they're good, but they're a little overinflated. This number I was told by a couple guys, Mo Pearson at the Win, is like, hey, I made this number 6 or 7. A couple other guys co-signed that they think it's a good spot for California. That's a late kick, 10:30 Eastern. I'm not going to pick it or play it, but that is just something that I wanted to pass along. If you're looking for something else, that may be something that interests you. California, -3.5. Ryan Butler had this tweet, @ButlerBets. Great follow if you're looking for any of this legislation, legalization, implementation stuff. Ryan's great. @ButlerBets. He works for the Action Network. 1 week before the 2021 NFL season opener and the following have or could have at least one legal betting option by kickoff. And I'm going to read the entire list here. I don't think you realize how big it is. Deep breath. Arkansas, Arizona, Colorado, D.C., Delaware, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wyoming. 26 states and D.C. Man, this thing is going and booming. And Connecticut is on the way. And some other states are on the way. And eventually, you'll see it in Massachusetts and Florida and California and Texas. I'm still on the high side of states by the end of the 2023 season. I'm higher than most. I think we'll be at about 42, 43. Could I be optimistic? Hell yeah. Is it realistic? Yes. Think about where we were in 2018. Actually, let's go back to before I moved to Vegas. 2017 football season. You could bet in Nevada. 2021, you can bet in 26 states and D.C. and more on the way. In a four-year period, this thing keeps exploding. And the handles get bigger and bigger. And the advertisements and the customer acquisition. This industry is staggering. It's amazing how many people bet on sports, huh? Two more quick things. If you're looking for a contest that has a pretty nice ROI, return on investment, the Circa Sports Survivor, as I hit refresh on circasports.com, they have only 2,235 entries. $1,000 a person for the Survivor. Didn't join it yet. Trying to still get into it. Couldn't really make it work down there. The overlay right now is $3.76 million. They are guaranteeing at Circa $6 million to the last player standing. That's one winning NFL team each week. Survivor. You know Survivor. But if you're thinking about joining a Survivor pool and you can scratch up 1,000, you got to take a look at this. $6 million grand prize. Now, if there's eight people at the end of the season, that gets divvied up by eight. They take the $6 million divided by eight. That's your cut. They're going to take care of anybody who's still around at the end. The overlay is insane. And the Circa Million, not as high. They've got 2,600 entries. They guaranteed $1 million of the first prize and $4 million in guaranteed prize money. The overlay there is $1.3 million. The Survivor overlay, though, holy cow, $3.7 million. They might still get there. That's a big number. It's going to be close, though. And this is all marketing advertising. As we talked about last week with Matt Metcalf, this is a gamble to get to that number, $6 million. But if you're looking for a Survivor contest, there's no contest bigger or better than that one. And I can help put you in touch with a proxy, Winner Circle Proxy. They're great. That's our proxy for Chicken Dinner's Westgate Super Contest entry. Last thing, those of you that are looking for more picks, I'm not going to add these to any records. If you listened to Kelly and Murray last year, they did the card. They did it for a couple years, actually. And now that that show is no longer a thing, with Kelly at Barstool and John doing his thing in Vegas, of course, I asked Murray, I'm like, hey, what's up with the card? He said, well, I'll let you know what's up. Sharp guys at the Superbook took the following. Michigan State plus 6 and plus 5. Obviously, best number is gone. Tread carefully here. These are just bets from people that win that usually get the best number. They also saw action on Navy plus 3. That market, 2.5. And Missouri, another play. They laid 12 and 13 up to 14. Those are respected players. Again, Michigan State, Navy, Missouri. Understand that you probably missed the best number, but that's a glimpse behind the counter as to who some of the best college football bettors in the world are betting. So excited to be in the office of Jay Cornegay at the Westgate Superbook. I love titles around this place, but before I get to your title, I wanted to read you a snippet of something. This is a press release from the Colorado side, okay? The Superbook sports team is led by sports betting industry icon Jay Cornegay. How does that make you react? Sports betting industry icon. Do you like that?
No, I don't. I voiced my displeasure with icon many times, and they know that I don't like it at all, and it's a running joke around here. So whenever they see me, the marketing department, they use icon. And so now when I do some of these interviews, now it's caught on to, you know, especially Colorado because I'm from that area. They like to use it because they know it gets under my skin.
It does sort of, I could see where you would not want that, but it's still hysterical. I mean, there's a lot of hysterical stuff that happens in this book, and I watched the rapport that you have with Ed Sammons and Jeff Sherman. You guys have been together since the 90s. You got Murray now doing his thing. He's an up-and-comer. The team here, let me put it this way. This place feels like such a fun place to work. Do you feel that way?
I think we try to make it fun around here. I mean, we spend so much time here together that, you know, yes, I want it to be, I want to get work done, and we do. But I also want it to be an enjoyable place. And, do we bust each other's chops around here? Absolutely. But that's part of the fun. So we all know who's, you know, favorite teams are, you know, what they're rooting for, maybe even what they bet tonight. Okay? Yes. So we do bust some balls around here, but that's the type of atmosphere that we like to create.
The night that I woke up, I stayed here for Super Bowl this year, and I woke up and I looked down on the ground, and there was a cardboard cutout of you on the floor. I don't know how it got there, but I can tell you a couple hours later, security knocked on my door.
No.
The guy in the blue coat, you know the blue coat around here means bad.
Oh, yeah.
The blue coat comes, you're in trouble. Hello? Let him in. We know you have it. He goes, we know you have it. Give it back. Security came all the way to the room and took the Jay Cornegay cardboard cutout back and put it back where it was. So I guess in some weird way, you are an icon.
You had me on the floor?
You were on the floor. Yeah.
It wasn't that great, was it?
Oh, man. You ready for the NFL or what? You ready for football?
Not really. Well, we're getting there. As far as mentally, I wish I had another month or so. It's just been kind of a long summer for us because we didn't get to take our normal vacations and time off. We have New Jersey that's been on deck for many months, and so we prolonged that launch. It wasn't up to us, but it kind of held everything up, especially our off time. So I was kind of hoping to get a couple more days in before football, but we'll be ready for it.
It seems like, you know, you have a pretty decent flow of handle already. You're seeing big bets. Sammons told me about some cuckoo bird who came in and bet $20,000 on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. I don't know if maybe they're Cam Newton's cousin or something. I don't know what's going on there, but it seems like the money's still coming in and really coming in on Tom Brady this year. I mean, maybe more than it ever has coming into a season. The guy's such an enigma, man. He's 43 years old, and they're still betting him like he's in his prime, and we all know he's not, but they did just win the Super Bowl. It's such a weird situation.
It really is. I didn't expect that, to be honest. I didn't expect, you know, with what they did last year, which was amazing. You know, Brady was just amazing all season long. You know, I thought most of the bettors were going to take a look at that or view it as kind of a one-off kind of thing. It was like, you know, he proved his point. He left New England.
He's going to retire.
Yep. And he's going to, yes, what Elway did, right? Right out of the, you know, on top of the mountain, you know, he did it. He won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. And no, the bettors are just clamoring on Tampa Bay right now, along with the Chiefs. But if you look at ticket count, you look at money, those are 1-2. And it's very clear that the Buccaneers, and I mean, we know about Brady, but the Buccaneers are a public team, obviously, because of Brady and what they did last year. I just didn't think it was going to carry over. I really didn't.
2-1 now you guys got them to win the NFC.
That's just amazing. I don't see it, but then again, we just took a large bet on the Jets to win the division too, you know.
Oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
I've heard two comments now, and it's funny because, you know, as we do this more and more, as we grow the space, and you know, we're both part of the space. You've been doing it much better and much longer than I have, but we're a part of the space. As new gamblers enter the space, they're very reactionary to what they see, and they don't think about, you know, a lot of variables. I had two people in the last month tell me, wow, Denver might be real this year. They watched the preseason game when they played Minnesota, who sat 30 starters. Look out for Denver this year. The second comment was, wow, Zach Wilson might be better than Trevor Lawrence. The overreactions that some people make to the preseason, Jay, I don't think that way anymore, but it just sometimes you can't help and think about they're really going to overreact to a preseason game.
I'm not going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe situation again. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's like my Denver family and friends were telling me, oh, that's the second game they haven't had a penalty. I go, who cares? What are you talking about? It's like, you know, you guys don't get all hyped up on this. I mean, you look at, and I saw, you know, Trey Lance. I watched a little bit of him last night, and, I thought that it was – he performed fairly decent, but I thought some of the reporting on it was just over the top. I thought the one pass, the guy was open for seven. I mean, the guy was 7 yards open. I mean, it was one pass. He did throw a nice pass over the middle later on. I thought that was a good pass. But that's, you know what? It's a very simplified defense. You know, they're not blitzing. You know, they're not doing all these stunts and everything, which will confuse most of these guys. But it's hard to, you know, be 100% in on that because we have seen rookie quarterbacks in recent years come out of the gate and perform okay. I just didn't see it in Lance's performance last night. Now, he still might be okay. I think Garoppolo is the guy in San Francisco. But overall, you got to really just take this preseason with a grain of salt. I mean, there's just so many things you can look into it. I don't know how many Super Bowl winners there have been over the years that were like 1-4 or 0-5 in preseason. And how many were undefeated going 4-1 or 5-0 in preseason and then lose 3 games right out of the gate. That has happened as well.
Did you want to take that? Is that the NFL calling you again?
It is. Nope, it was a fixed game. Okay, never mind.
I love sitting in these rooms with guys like you because it's just like the screen doesn't stop. I was sitting with Bogdanovich one time at William Hill. This is when I came out here for the first time, and Ostrowski and I were doing Chicken Dinner, and you came on our show. And Bogdanovich is sitting in his desk, and he's got the halftime. And he's like, it's a Saturday morning. It couldn't have been football because this was before football season.
Had a basketball.
Could have been. Summer league. Whatever. And he goes, do you want me to shut that off? I go, no, keep it. It adds to the ambiance.
Yeah.
Sometimes this place is like a freaking amusement park.
You know, you can change the audio sound. You can make it a man or a woman. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
His was a woman, likely British. Joe and I are like, first of all, we're intimidated because we don't know Nick. And we nobody knows who we are. And we're sitting there, and he's, you know, Nick is dead, a very serious guy when he's at work. I learned later he's not that serious when he's out. But he's sitting there. We're lucky to be there. We're happy to be there. Halftime.
Final.
Yeah. And all these different noises. And I don't want to tell Nick Bogdanovich to shut his fucking computer off. You know, it wasn't the greatest audio.
Nick is great. He has one of the best sense of humors around. You know, real dry sense of humor. Yeah. You know, and he's so good. But I would tell Nick, you know, there's a mute button, right? Okay. There's a couple of settings in there that you can make to make all go away. Yes. I've had that too, where I've had like, I like critical. Critical.
What does it mean?
You look. I don't know what it means. It's like, I look, it's like, oh, it moved from 5 to 5.5. Is that critical? It's, yeah. Someone's out. Oh, now it's like COVID these days, but, you know. It's not something that is rattling my cage, I can tell you that.
We heard the same things about Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm.
And I heard it from people that I respected. I think you felt the same way. I mean, just take me through your process on how that all happens, because you guys took a lot of that stuff down, right? I mean, you had to think that there was some truth to some of that situation, right?
Yeah, well, I did, because I emptied 3 of my accounts. I got a lot of Bronco futures. I did it. I really believed.
When did
and
you
I
do
don't
it?
Normally.
When did you do that?
That was the day before the draft, so April something. The sources that I saw were really reliable, and you know, they can't get it all right, you know. But I really thought he was going to Denver.
I didn't think he was playing again in Green Bay.
Yeah.
People close to that situation said it's not going to happen, and I mean, it's tough because it didn't happen, but something was fishy there in Green Bay with him. I don't know what it is. Clearly they made it work, but like as a bookmaker, you don't know what to do there.
the safe approach is just take everything down, which we did for a little bit. And then we, you know, adjusted accordingly, thinking that, yes, we all agreed, and Ed and Jeff and John, we all thought that where this information was coming from was very reliable, and we said this is going to happen. So we later on made some adjustments, and from that point on, you know, nothing happened. And every day that went by, you know, the number was creeping back to reflect the numbers prior to that news or those rumors. And, you know, then we heard that he's eventually, I mean, going to play there for one more year and whatever. They settled on that deal, which was really disheartening because I don't think I've ever fell for news before like that, because usually we don't make a living off knee-jerk reactions around
sure.
here. Okay?
No, I know.
And I'm guilty. I was guilty. And maybe I, because I'm from Denver and I was, maybe I was wanting to see that happen, but I think the others too, you know, they have no interest in the Broncos whatsoever, but I was a little biased and I thought it was going to happen. So, yeah, I got a lot of over 7.5 Bronco futures.
Well, you still might get there. And I saw you guys now have 9. I think
yeah.
you're dealing 9 now. They really are a quarterback away.
Yes.
That's it.
They really are. And, you know, right now they got 2 mediocre quarterbacks. I know there's a big battle and there's a big split of the Bronco Nation right now between, you know, Teddy and Drew. I just thought Drew's, you know, that was such a short sample of 1 year. You know, I know he's a hard head and he may be not as coachable as they thought, but I thought he was coming around. But Teddy has looked fabulous. Teddy has looked really good and probably deserves, you know, the start. But, you know, having 2 okay quarterbacks, you know, I could think of worse scenarios.
If you could combine them, that'd be a pretty decent quarterback.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a lot of things to like for, you know, one guy, and then this guy does something else well. You know, it's just – I've always thought for years it was amazing that and I'm looking up in your office and I'm seeing John Elway on the wall and all this stuff, and it's like I never understood how Elway couldn't find a quarterback and Jordan couldn't draft a good basketball player.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
How does that happen?
I mean, Bronco fans, I've been scratching my head on that for the last few years. I mean, how many times – what is it, 0-6? For Elway, it's amazing. And, you know, he hits it big with, you know, signing Manning, but obviously ever since then, it's just been a disaster. Huge fails, Sam. I mean, you're not talking about a guy that just was mediocre. I mean, there was a couple of bombs in there that a big swing and a miss.
Paxton Lynch.
That was probably the biggest one.
Brock Osweiler.
That was unfortunate because I thought – he had a chance with being under Manning's wing for a few years, you know, all that tutoring, he was going to come around, but he was scared to throw it more than, you know, 12 yards.
You can have Tebow back.
There's some people that still believe Tebow is the answer. I'm not one of them. Go Tim. Yeah.
Oh, man, it's something. Not to turn this into Broncos hour or anything.
Elway didn't draft Tebow. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was McDaniels.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I find it funny every year, you know, and I don't know how much attention you pay to, like, the trendy team, you know, like the team that everybody's sort of talking about to make the next step. And I was talking about this with Sherman when I talked to him yesterday. I like the Chargers a lot, but now I hate how everybody else likes the Chargers a lot. Like, mm-hmm. When you hear that and you start seeing rumblings and, you know, the handicappers and guys that are, you know, doing this stuff, they all start gravitating toward a team or two. How do you handle stuff like that?
Well, I'm not like Ed Sammons. Ed Sammons, anytime he's a contrarian, so anytime everybody goes this way, he's automatically going to take the other side.
Okay.
I go, you know, I'm not that way. I go, sometimes the public's right. I mean, we can get our butts kicked around here, and it's usually from the public when they're all on one side, and sometimes I agree with them. I prefer not to, but at times I will. As you know, they can be correct at times, and so therefore, I don't like people's opinions to influence my opinion.
Okay.
Okay. I just base it off of what I see rather than, you know, here's the flow. This is what everybody's thinking or not thinking. It's, you know, sometimes I'm with them, sometimes I'm against them.
And the money's going to really tell the story, right? I mean, it's all going to depend on who's betting you. at what price and what the liability is. I mean, we know that, but I just, the more I hear, and as we get closer to the season, now the people start, oh, look out for the Chargers, look out for Justin Herbert, and I'm thinking, I've got Herbert 30-1 to win the MVP, and now I hate it because everybody else likes it.
See, what that bothers you?
It does bother me.
Really? Yeah. See, it doesn't really. I mean, I prefer it not to go, you know, go that way, but, you know, hey, I already had it. That was my opinion. That was my original thought. I'm not going to let these guys bring me down one way or another. I still could be right because sometimes they are right. The masses can be right sometimes. But I prefer to be on the other side.
I hear you, man. I hear you. And I just signed up for your contest.
Nice.
I'm dreading, again, having to pick 5 NFL games a week. It's so hard.
What's your opinion on these new in-season contests? You like them?
I do like them. Seriously.
Yeah?
I have more chances to win.
Okay.
I have more chances to win.
You have 10, actually.
Yeah. And I think when I was in the contest, I didn't do last year, but 2 years ago, I think there were 4 ways to win.
Yes.
Does that sound right?
4 or 5.
Four or five. So now you've doubled the opportunity. Mm-hmm. The mini contest stuff is you always have a chance. Even if you get buried early, because you can get buried early and you're not. If I go 2-8 in the first 2 weeks, I'm not winning the super contest. But if I get hot at the end.
Get hot at any time now.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, my friends were in another contest and we couldn't wait for the new quarter. Like every quarter.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, guys, we're starting a new quarter. All right. Really focus now.
Who's your friend, Lovie Smith? That sounds like something Lovie Smith would say.
No, not Lovie.
He used to say we play in quarters.
I do call him Lovie at times, but no.
There's more ways to win. And for the consumer, that makes me happy. Dead serious.
Yeah, because we're all been there. In fact, most of the time we're there. Right, most of the time we're not in contention for the overall grand prize. So, you know, John and I, we kind of worked that out, and John's like, these in-season contests are, you know, really popular. A lot of people like them, and it's like, yeah, we should just increase them. And it was like, there it is, there's the light bulb, right? We're like, yeah, we didn't think about at that time we didn't think we were going to go from 4 to 9, you know, but that's where we ended up, and it has been a lot of positive feedback. So,
yeah, you've been doing that contest how long now?
Since 2004. Now, yeah, that's how long we've been running it. I was about to enter. Actually, the very first year I was going to enter the super contest that I could afford it was 2004. And then the next thing I know, I was running it. It's like, okay.
Is that a bad beat
or
a good
beat?
That's probably a good beat.
Yeah, you know, it was a good beat. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good beat.
Yeah, you save all that money all those years. You wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but of course, it would be like 2 other partners. It's $1,500, and we finally could put $500 together.
Oh, you find that extra scratch?
Yeah, there it is.
I wanted to tell you a story real quick about, I can't remember what year this was, but I had a bookmaker tell me 1 year that he had a complaint because a guy had lost a bet, and he ripped up his paper ticket. Turns out the bet didn't lose. The bet won. So this guy goes and gets a bunch of scotch tape and tries to put the ticket back together, you know. And he's missing a little part of the part. Like, they wouldn't read the ticket. And the teller didn't know what to do. So he goes in the back, gets the sportsbook guy, comes out. They actually paid the guy, you know. It was a winning bet, but the little bit of the ticket blew away or whatever. Have you ever had a story like that with a ticket or anything like that?
I think I would have tried to make a deal with a guy that I would pay. You're missing 30% of the ticket. Here's 70% of your winnings. You know, I have seen that actually. I have seen where people have either burned it, you know, or
Why do they burn it before the game's over?
You know, true. You'd have to ask him that. But, you know, one of those, you know, funky comebacks, or a lot of people just misread their tickets. Or maybe they don't even know what they bet, I guess. You know, and they just, I thought I lost, but now I realize that I won. You know, it's like, really? It's like, wait, how were you watching the game?
Where's the other half of your ticket, sir? Yeah.
But I've seen a few of those, actually, over the years where they just tore them all up. And, yeah, you can read it and put it together. You know, a lot of in today's world, there's so many player numbers, and I can just bring up your number and go, yep, this is your ticket.
Sure, yeah, that there helps to have the database. Oh, yeah. But this is a paper ticket, and this is before the apps, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back in the day, it was a lot tougher. But now, you know, we can just look somebody up and say, yeah, this is your ticket.
I'm just picturing you coming out. What do I have this vision of you coming off from the back and somebody just drops their ticket like confetti on the desk? All these different pieces. Like, it's a winner.
It's a winner. I mean, usually we've had people throw their tickets at us.
Oh.
Yeah. That
does that help?
That doesn't go over.
I don't feel like that would help.
No, it doesn't. Especially if it hits me in the head. Oh. Yeah. And he says, I thought you'd be taller, Jay. I'm like, whoa. Really? Okay. No, that's the good ones. Some really bad ones, really. But some of the things that they've said over the years, really insulting. You know, I mean, of course, we've been threatened before.
Oh, well, yeah.
It doesn't that. I mean, obviously, that's not going to go. But, you know, some creative insults are over the years.
I just want to ask you one more thing, and then I'll get the hell out of your office and I'll leave you alone. Do you have like a favorite story over all the years? I mean, you could take this wherever you want. It could be a good decision, a bad decision, a crazy player. What's the story? If you were going to like write a book, like what would be the first thing you would write?
Oh, geez. There's a couple of them. One, I'm not sure. Is this PG or an R?
You can
R
say
rated?
Whatever you want. Just be careful. You know people are getting canceled around
Okay,
here.
That clarifies things.
Fuck there. You feel better now?
Oh, I see. This is edited. Okay.
No, we don't edit this. No, we don't.
One of my favorite stories was when, you know, there was this commotion. This is at the IP, and there was a bunch of commotion up. We had tier seating up there and on our race side, and we didn't have a clear view of it from the sports side. And I was over on the sports side, and all of a sudden I see about three security guards and I don't know, a couple others, and there was a couple up there. And long story short was I was like, what the heck happened? And it's just, you know, the guys go, well, let's just say she was handicapping him. And I'm like,
what?
I was like, handicapping him? I was like, oh, yeah. Well, let's just say she had her hands on him, and they said they were handicapping.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh. I was like, really? I was like, what was the commotion? They wouldn't stop. They didn't stop. Or she didn't stop, I should say. And so that,
in the book?
Was, yeah. Yeah. So we had a couple that was handicapping up there. That was one of my favorite memories, which I haven't really told that. I can't remember last time. I don't think I've ever told anybody on air on that one. And then the other one was when I was accused of having a direct line to Mike Shanahan on the sidelines for, you know, for the Bubby Brister prop. You know, we had, you know, will Bubby Brister have a rushing attempt? And we said right there, a kneel down is a rushing attempt. And this is for the Broncos Falcons Super Bowl. We thought this was actually Ed Sammons. You got to give him the credit for this. He goes, you know, if it all turns out right, and what they're going to do is they're going to pull Elway off the field. They're going to send Bubby Brister in, and most likely he's going to take a kneel down. And so a kneel down is a rushing attempt, and the prop was, will Bubby Brister have a rushing attempt? And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. The only problem is they never showed it. Sam, they never showed it.
Oh, they're showing
they
the sideline and the Gatorade
it.
And all
yes,
that.
Yes, so Bubby took two kneel downs, and they're showing Elway on the sideline. They never showed, and we were all realizing what was going on. It's like, oh, Brister's kneeled down right now, and they're not even showing it. And everybody was cashing out tickets. This was at the IP, too. And the guy goes, I know you're from Denver. He's screaming. The room's like, we have a few hundred people in this little book, and this guy's yelling at me. He said, I know you from Denver. You probably called Shanahan and told him to put Bubby in because you needed, you know, him in there. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? It's like, so for the longest time, that was a running joke, you know. Hey, Jay, did you call Shanahan lately? You know, it was ridiculous. But I thought that accusation was one of the more memorable ones over the years. So, but, you know, being here for 34 years now, Sam, in the business, we got a lot of those stories. It's fantastic. I should write a book. And people say, you should write a book. I should have been keeping notes. That's what I should have been doing.
You got to keep notes. And here's the other thing. If you just find the right writer, they can write the book. You just talk.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like writing. You don't have to write it. You just talk, and they'll write around you. That's what you got to do.
That's what I needed in college. you know, yes, someone like that right by my side. So
you did okay.
Yeah,
I did okay.
I got through.
I appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're busy. You got to probably talk to Mike Shanahan or something like that. But thanks for letting me come in. Your team rocks. Jay Cornegay, he runs the show here at the Superbook in Las Vegas. And you guys continue to expand, too. It's cool to see. And I'm happy that we were able to do this.
Thanks, Sam.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Jay Cornegay for sitting down. I was in his office, and we just yammed it up. I was actually in there for like an hour, but found a way to carve out 26 minutes of that time and share it with you. And these interviews keep coming. Got a couple more in the vault. Chris Andrews, Robert Walker, Jeff Sherman. Got some more to share with the audience, and happy about that. Record check, 160, 152, and 6. We have our sixth push with Minnesota, plus 14. That brings us to plus 2.1 units, up a little bit. Happy about that. And Iowa in the hopper, minus 3.5. Coming up next week on the show, Teddy Greenstein will join us on Tuesday for Points Bet as we chop up another Big Ten slate and talk about some of the cool things going on at Points Bet. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you then right here on Chicken Dinner.